The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today marks the first official full day of campaigning for the presidential election, and perhaps the nomination game through the local authority scenic route and the Oireachtas route has come to an end, and we're left with three: Jim Gavin, Heather Humphreys and Catherine Connolly, taking to the campaign trail different parts of the country today. The first TV and radio debates are being set up, and it's all to play for. I understand there are polls to show there's not a lot between them. Well, to dissect all these matters, it's a great pleasure to welcome the Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, Fionnán Sheehan, who's had more elections than hot dinners at this stage. Good morning, Fionnán.
Good morning, Ivan.
Now, let's start with the fallout from Maria Steen only getting 18. You have a piece in today's paper, Analysis, Fionnán Sheehan. McDowell forgets his lectures on democracy in failure to back Steen. What was the key point of the piece?
The Senate, as we know, is a fairly outdated, archaic institution, and we're basically told the purpose of it is to ensure that there is wide representation in politics, and that minorities have a voice, and that perspectives that are otherwise not heard in the Dáil, in the mainstream political system, are aired. And yet, we had members of that institution basically blocking a candidate yesterday. We had people, in effect, spoiling their vote by not backing anybody. When a candidate got 90% of the support of nominations on a paper that she needed to be in an election, we had members of the Senate basically refusing to sign the paper. The same people will lecture us about democracy, and they said that this is why we need to keep the Senate in place.
So you're specifically calling out Senators McDowell, Boylan and Crockwell, are you?
Yeah, in Michael McDowell's case, he led the charge on keeping the Senate in place a dozen years ago. And his point at that time was that the Senate was very important in terms of checks and balances, in terms of inclusive representation in politics. Along comes Maria Steen, someone who only a year ago he was happy to share a platform with in terms of the family and care referendums. And a year later, he won't even sign her nomination papers without any explanation from him. And I think we deserve an explanation, because ultimately he is one of only 234 people who can, you know, directly nominate somebody to run for the presidential election. Yeah, fine, you can go down the council route, but that's bit more difficult. And within that, then we had basically all of the main parties. Fair enough, they were all backing their own candidates. Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, they were all boxed off. All of the left wing parties have come out. So Maria Steen was basically left with a small pocket of people. There were some who came on board to sign her nomination papers who said quite clearly, I'm not supporting her, I'm not backing her, I don't agree with her, but I do believe that she has a right to put her name forward as a candidate. And yet, Michael McDowell, Jerry Crockwell, who last time around was lecturing us all about the importance of having a presidential election when it was fairly superfluous because Michael D. Higgins pretty much romped home in that election and there was really no point to it. 7 years later, Jerry Crockwell decides, no, I can't be bothered nominating anybody either. So there were votes available here for Maria Steen, particularly within the Senate, that institution that we would be told, allowed people like W.B. Yeats and David Norris to have a voice over the generations. And in this case, they just decided, well, we can't be bothered, or look, we don't agree with her, so why should she get her name on the ballot paper? Whatever the case may be, they haven't really explained.
I did see an interview he gave to the Daily Mail where he said, look, I was never going to vote for her. While we did agree on some issues, we disagreed on more. I don't support her. I was never going to, at any stage, support her. And blaming me isn't appropriate because I'm not going to nominate someone that I wouldn't vote for. So there's two sides to this.
Paul Gogarty, yeah. a former Green Party, an independent, what you would describe as, you know, traditional left-wing, liberal, now independent TD, he nominated her. He doesn't agree with her. Michael Healy-Rae came out and said, I'm not supporting her. I'm actually backing Heather Humphreys, but I'm going to facilitate this candidate. So there were other people who came forward and said, I have a right, a privilege and an entitlement as a member of the Oireachtas to be a very small number of people who can directly sign a nomination paper, and I'm going to do that. There were others who decided that they weren't going to do that. And yeah, I think there is an explanation deserved here, because ultimately this is why we allegedly kept the Shannon in place a dozen years ago.
Okay, fair enough. So we're left with, it is what it is, three candidates. First thing we're looking at perhaps is quite a low turnout. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, I let's not write off a campaign, but it's certainly not, you know, the most exciting of tickets. The three of them had their first rollout last night in terms of straightforward, quick hit interviews on the national broadcaster. And at the end of it, you were kind of going, okay, look, Heather Humphreys is the establishment government candidate. She's going to say things up to a particular point, but she will highlight her experience in office and her own background. Then Catherine Connolly was quite clear that you know, she's effectively the continuity Michael D candidate, same style in terms of speaking out on a broad range of issues, pretty much anti-establishment, but obviously, you know, doesn't have Michael Dee's same level of experience, but would argue that she has held at the last count Corliss position and therefore has shown that she can get support and understand people's perspectives from across the political spectrum. Then Jim Gavin was the kind of celebrity candidate for the main party, and seemed to run out of things to say after a couple of minutes once he said he's going to be energetic and will talk to people. Beyond that, I didn't really get a whole lot from what on earth his platform is here. So that's kind of where it rests. They are ultimately running for head of state, so therefore they will rightly come under scrutiny. Heather Humphreys is arguing she gets caught out on fairly simple questions about her own background and members of the family being in the Orange Order. I would have thought that was fairly straightforward. A Presbyterian from a northern border county being a member of the Orange Order is hardly all that surprising, yet she couldn't answer a simple question like that. Catherine Connolly argues that she answers every question, yet every question she's asked, she tries to object to and put some other context on it, and it's very difficult to get a straight answer out of her. And Jim Gavin's answers are fairly nondescript. So it's not going to be the most exciting in terms of from a debating perspective, or in terms of having people who are going to really go all out to raise the level of debate about the future of this country.
The two big powers, as I see it, that the president have is to refuse to dissolve the Dáil. So just say you had a Belgian type situation where there was no government being formed, the Dáil had machinations for months to try and form it, and the acting caretaker Taoiseach says, look, I want to go for another election, to refuse it. The other then is the referring of legislation for its constitutionality. Other than that, does it really matter who's president?
Oh, you go for it or not. Yeah, fine. The refusal to dissolve the Dáil, I think in your political career and your lifetime, it probably only came up once.
Yeah, the Haughey time
in the early 80s. You were just a young pup TD at the time. So, I mean, it arises very rarely. What we describe as the referral of legislation to the Supreme Court goes far deeper than that. That is about the scrutiny of every single law that is passed. Has to go to the president. We know from the current incumbent, from the dispatches that have come back to the government and to the Oireachtas, that he likes that business to be done efficiently and effectively, that he raises a wide variety of points, that he scrutinizes legislation at every single stage. So there is actually a big responsibility there, because ultimately it's not... just a case of Asher send up the bill to the IRS and they'll post it back a day later with an old signature on it. It is actually about the scrutiny of legislation.
But even in that, context, as I understand it, the president, he or she then convenes the Council of State, which is really establishment figures, judicial figures, and it's very hard
former
to go TG against.
Yeah, exactly. So on,
It's hard to go against. If they recommend, no, I think you should refer this to the Supreme Court, or you shouldn't, that's most likely what the president of the day would do.
And that is, yeah, but ultimately that decision has to be come about through proper deliberation. And the president even calling the Council of State is a big deal. And so the president does have to maintain that independence and integrity to kind of try at least to stay out of day-to-day issues such that they can be trusted in that regard. And even when you get a recommendation about referring a bill to the Supreme Court, even at that point there is a decision to be made. Do it at this stage or let it pass, because sometimes pieces of legislation need time to evolve. Somebody needs to take a challenge on a very specific aspect of it, and laws are basically living, breathing things that will evolve over time depending on what challenges are taken against them. So there is enormous responsibility there, and that's, I suppose, a point that has been raised about people coming in from the outside who have no political or legislative experience, that they're going to be at a loss in that regard. I mean, ultimately, every president who we've had so far has either had significant experience in terms of being a legal expert, or else have a substantial political background. And you'd argue there's kind of been a reason for that, because ultimately you are the guardian of the Constitution.
Now, I have in front of me, I have all the betting apps on my phone, and I've opened Boyle Sports. And what I want to ask is, I'm going to give you a free €100. Would you back Heather Humphreys at 6-4, Jim Gavin at 7-4, or Catherine Connolly at 9-4? Which, in betting terms, is if you think there is going to be a three-way dead heat, the betting odds is actually, the probability is 2-1 each of three. So if you add in a bookies margin, it's 7-4 each of three. So, like, none of them are odds on. It's all to play for. Campaigns matter. Debates will be pivotal. So I'll allow you to change your mind, Finan, at 15 times between now and the 24th of October. But if I gave you a free €100 now, where would you place the bet?
No, I wouldn't, because I think at this stage of the race, as you say, it is quite open, because each of the candidates have got pros and cons going for them. I think people were too quick to write off Catherine Connolly, to be honest. I think, you know, the Sinn Féin weighing in behind her, the fact that she can put herself forward as an anti-establishment candidate, the only option in that regard, that will come more to the fore as time goes on. She's had the kitchen sink thrown at her over the course of the summer, and, you know, she's still standing. Ultimately, nobody else on the left came forward. And then, you know, in terms of the other two, there's a mini contest going on there between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to see who comes out on top and where the transfers go. So I still think it's a bit too early, because we haven't heard enough from each of the candidates. We haven't really seen how good they are on the actual campaign trail. And it's a bit... it's a bit like previous presidential elections. You don't always get the predictable outcome at all. They're not like general elections. People can abandon their own political leanings to go behind a candidate based upon a feeling that they have for them.
So you're holding
question
all
dodge. Question dodge, Diamond, I think is the answer there, yeah.
And if you were asking the questions, you'd be the first to rip
exactly,
that
yeah.
poor interviewee apart.
But I'm not, am I? Yeah.
Well, you know, Brian Lennon Sr. used to say the futility of consistency. So look, at the end of the day, what you're saying is the most interesting thing about this election is that it's quite unpredictable as of now.
No, but it is quite open. As you said, campaigns do matter. This is why Catherine Connolly getting a proper campaign up and running, if the parties that are now behind her, say they are behind her in Labour's case, can actually get a proper movement going, nationwide, get funding behind it in terms of showing it is a significant campaign and not just a kind of a bit of an amateur or a grassroots movement, well then that will make a difference on the ground as things go. And so that the ground war and the air war does matter. People talk about the debates, but you need to show that right across the country you are capable at the very least of taking a campaign right across the country and getting a bit of buzz going behind you. People, we'll look back at Mary Robinson, but there was in that 1990 presidential election, she was very much up against it. But throughout that campaign, she showed that you put an effective and professional campaign together and the likes of Dick Spring and Fergus Finlay behind her. And you can actually make a substantial difference such that if one of your competitors falls or hits a mishap, you're ready to capitalize upon that. There's no point in somebody looking at the first poll that comes out this weekend after the nominations are closed and basically saying, oh, well, I'm behind. I may as well give up, because these events are quite unpredictable.
Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, thank you indeed for giving us that day one overview of the campaign and talking about the blame game that's underway in relation to Maria Steen. Thank you indeed.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.